after the emissaries of Balak have made Bilam the offer of a lifetime, incredible wealth and riches, if he'll just agree to curse the Jewish people, the next morning we are told, Perchav Beis, Pasuk Gimel, that Bilam says to those emissaries, Yomer el Sarai Balak, Lachu el Artzachem, return to your land, Ki me'ein Hashem letiti lahaloch imachem. Hashem will not let me go with you. Commenting on this statement that Bilam made to the emissaries, Rashi says that in fact what Bilam was really saying is that I can't go imachem, with you, because you are officers of a lower rank and much lower prestige than I am. If you'll only send back officers of a higher rank and of greater prestige, then it would be worthy of me to go with such people. But it's beneath my dignity to go with such people as you. And of course, as Rashi points out, this was really Bilam demonstrating his great arrogance, because he didn't want to really admit the truth, which is that in the previous pasuk, Hashem had told him, pasuk Gibeiz, V'yomer Elokim El Bilam, lo telech imahem, lo to'or esa'am, ki baruchu. You cannot go and curse the Jewish people, because in fact they are a blessed people. In a remarkable essay in the work Sichos Musar, the famed Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, Rab Chaim Shmulevitz, suggests that even though Bilam was acting arrogantly, to be sure, but he was not deliberately lying. He had good reason, says Rab Chaim Shmulevitz, to think that the real reason he couldn't go and curse the Jewish people was because those emissaries were beneath his dignity. After all, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh already pointed out that we seem to have an earlier, prior expression of Hashem's incredible and exquisite sensitivity to Bilam's honor and dignity. After all, just a few psukim earlier in Pasuk Tes, when Hashem asks Bilam, who are these people? Miha Anashim Ha'ela Ima, who are these people who have come to speak with you? Who are the people who you are consulting with? Of course, the Or HaChaim points out, Hashem didn't really need to have Bilam tell him who they were. Hashem knows everything. Of course Hashem knew who these people were. Rather, interprets the Or HaChaim, it was a rhetorical question on God's behalf, where he was basically trying to convey to Bilam, who are these people that you should be giving them any of your time? Who are these people that you should be taking into your private confidence? Who are these people that you should be bringing into your private residence? These people are beneath you. They're beneath your station. They're not on your level of prestige or honor or dignity. Why are you hanging out with such people who are beneath you? So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, in light of this comment of the Or HaChaim, if earlier, at a previous stage of the story, Bilam saw how much Hashem was worried about his dignity, it wasn't unreasonable for him to mistakenly assume, it was a mistake, but it wasn't unreasonable, it certainly wasn't a deliberate lie, for him to think that then subsequently when Hashem told him he could not go and curse the Jewish people, that was also based on the fact that the people who had been sent to hire him were beneath his dignity. This idea, which emerges from the Rashi and the Or HaChaim, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that we see in this story that Hashem is acutely sensitive to the dignity and honor and prestige of Bilam, actually is expressed in a stage later in the story, which is one of course, the most famous parts of the story, and that is of the talking donkey. We know that Bilam, in the end, does decide to go. He tries to curse the Jewish people. He's riding on his trusted donkey, and then an angel of God appears on the road, but only the donkey sees the angel, and therefore the angel will not pass. He will not go past the angel. The donkey will not pass the angel. Bilam gets upset because he didn't see the angel. He hits the donkey, and eventually the angel has to reveal himself even to Bilam, and he scolds Bilam for what he did. And according to Rashi, and this is quoted in a Pasuk Lamed Gimel, based on a Medrash in the Tanhuma, when the angel is scolding Bilam for his behavior, he mentions in passing that because of his behavior, the angel had to kill the donkey. The donkey, the famous talking donkey, is killed by the angel. And as Rashi quotes from Chazal, the angel explains to Bilam that this is a donkey who's able to see me, an angel of God, when you weren't able to see. This is an angel who had to give tochacha to Bilam. And if the donkey were to be allowed to remain alive, anytime people would see the donkey, they'd be, oh, that's the donkey that was Bilam's. That's the donkey that could see an angel that Bilam couldn't see. That's an angel that had to rebuke Bilam. It would be an ongoing source of humiliation and embarrassment to Bilam anytime someone would see the donkey for many years to come. And therefore, to preserve Bilam's dignity, so he shouldn't be constantly reminded of and embarrassed of this episode, says the angel, I had to kill the donkey. So here again we see in a dramatic fashion, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the fact that Hashem in the Torah is so acutely sensitive to the human dignity, to the embarrassment, to the pride of Bilam. The Medrash there, as quoted by Rashi, points out that we have a halachic parallel to this, and that is the halacha which is brought down in Sefer Vayikra. If a human being commits an act of sexual perversion with an animal, an act of bestiality, the halacha is that the human being, the man or the woman, is killed as a punishment, but the animal is also. And Chazal point out, and Rashi quotes this, that the animal didn't really do anything wrong. It's the human being who is prohibited from having such activities, and it's the human being who has the free choice, the agency, and made the horrible decision and committed the act of sexual perversion. Why is the animal being killed? Why is the animal being punished? And Chazal explained, and Rashi quotes this, it is to avoid the ongoing humiliation of that person. Because if the animal were to be permitted to remain alive, anytime someone would see the animal, they'd be reminded and say, oh yeah, that's the animal that was involved in the act of bestiality with that human being, with that man or woman who was killed. And it would be an ongoing and constant humiliation and reminder of the sin and the tremendous act of wickedness that that person had done. And the person is deserving of death, they're killed, but we don't try and we have no interest in constantly remembering this and continually humiliating that person. So we see this halacha is exactly parallel to what the angel did to Bilam's animal. To save him the ongoing humiliation, the animal was killed even though there was nothing wrong with what the animal had done. And Rechaim Shulevitz points out that we see from this entire story the way Hashem acts towards Bilam throughout, from beginning to end, the halacha of the animal who's involved in bestiality, that the Torah pays such exquisite sensitivity and care with the human dignity of others, and not just good people or even righteous people, even wicked people. Here's a person who's violating a cardinal sin of sexual immorality by an act of bestiality. Bilam, who is considered the paragon and a paradigm of wickedness, he wanted to curse the Jewish people. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos holds him out as a role model for wickedness, and yet the Torah and Hashem goes out of its way time and time again to show sensitivity to the covet of brios of Bilam or to someone who has chayiv misa because of an act of sexual morality. What we should learn from this, the muster for all of us, as the Medrash itself says, is if we see how much Hashem in the Torah is chas al kvod rishayim, cares about even the wicked people's human dignity, all the more so should we care about good people and righteous people and be sensitive to their needs and their dignity as well.